Global Perspectives, a podcast series in the service of democracy, peace, and development around the world.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Global Perspectives. My name is Verena Cassirje, and today I'll guide you through international perspectives on Germany's future foreign policy. With Germany's federal elections around the corner, we may see a change of foreign policy because, well, Chancellor Merkel is no longer running for office. So after 16 years, the country will have a new head of government. I spoke to some experts from the UK, France and Israel to take a deep dive into foreign policy questions from Afghanistan, China and Russia, all the way to the discussion around a European army. But before identifying opportunities, I first wanted to understand the landscape of geopolitical challenges. So I called up Richard Whitman, who is a professor of politics and international relations at the University of Kent and who focuses on foreign policy. I was hoping he could help me understand what we're up against.
For Europeans, I think the significant issues are China, which really is the issue for the century. I think China's rise, how China might be accommodated, and what the collective European response might be. Obviously, quite closely tied to that is climate and climate change and what happens to not just the politics of climate change, but the practical consequences of trying to mitigate the changes that we're seeing to the climate. And I think that's very much tied to the question of the relationship with China. And then I think there's obviously the relationship with the United States, where the United States decides to go in terms of how it views its relationship with China, but also how it sees Europe as part of that picture. And I think one of the things that we're now aware of as a consequence of this current administration and the previous administration in the US is that perhaps there's more unpredictability in the transatlantic relationship than we had been used to in the past. Perhaps the last issue for me to put on the table would be Europeans themselves and how they organise themselves politically and economically. And obviously, from the perspective of the UK, the relationship between the European Union, which may or may not deepen its integration process, and countries like the UK, which are, let's say, allies and friends, but also the more difficult neighbours in the European neighbourhood, and how all of those fit together in terms of a new European order.
With the Brexit experience, has there been a change of perception of these geopolitical challenges that are essentially foreign policy questions?
Well, I think one of the things that we've seen on the part of the UK is that there's this idea of global Britain, which I think many people found something that was curious. They didn't really know what it stood for, but it's become a little bit clearer. And I think there are two aspects of that which are worth noting. One is that the UK sees China as a challenger, and it perhaps has a tougher stance on China than the European Union. And we've seen this particularly play out on Hong Kong. And the other key issue, I think, for Europeans, where I see a bit of a divergence, I think, with the UK is on Russia, where the UK also has a very strong position on Russia, arguably one that's stronger than the average of position, shall we say, as expressed through the European Union's position. And there's one big area of uncertainty, I think, which is how the UK views its future relationship with the United States, because here the UK is probably doing a lot of soul searching. And that then begs the question as to how the UK fits with Europe and whether that means it might push the UK back into a closer relationship with the European Union.
Leaving the British angle, I would like to get an EU perspective on geopolitics. Paul Maurice is a research fellow on Franco-German relations at the French Institute of International Relations, and I asked him whether he sees any additional foreign policy challenges from a French point of view, also with regard to the upcoming German elections.
There were a lot of debates last year between France and Germany about strategic autonomy, about the relationship with the US after and before and after the US election, between AKK, and Macron. And it's a question about the future of European defense and security policy. We hope in France that the election will be an act of stability for the foreign policy, for the Franco-German project in the foreign policy.
To follow up, do you think there is potential for Germany and France to adopt joint policy stances, for instance, on how we handle the relationship with China as a partner, but also as a rival?
There is not really Franco-German common politics. About China, Germany wants to go on with China, and France wants to think about the European relationship with China. On the one end, there is a commercial relationship, and on the other end, we have the political relationship. And maybe the Indo-Pacific strategy can be an answer to this question, and it's asked to the relationship with the US. How will Germany act with China if there is some conflicts between US and China? China is not an enemy. It's a, as you said, a partner, an opponent, and there is a lot of position in Europe between the states and between the political parties in France, in Germany. And we have to look at what China wants. If there is a European strategy from Beijing, we have to see that there is a purpose of not to unite Europe, but there is also some countries who are agreed to work with China. And maybe the Franco-German perception of opponent and so on is not the global perception in Europe. Maybe in other countries, is China an opportunity? And with climate change, China has to be a partner.
Now, if we review these challenges from a point of action, Germany has, of course, taken action on geopolitical challenges, and some of these actions are criticized here and applauded there. I wanted to understand this, and I spoke to Gisela Dax, who is a professor at the European Forum and the DAAD Center for German Studies at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. Professor, for the case of Israel, could you give us an impression of the public image of Germany's foreign policy?
I mean, Angela Merkel is in Israel seen as one of really the world leaders. That is also something, her image in Israel is very good. People were even kind of sad that she didn't at the end visit Israel as she wanted to come for her final goodbye visit 2 weeks ago. This had been postponed because of Afghanistan and the crisis there. So the question of Germany in the world, I think, is one that is very important for Israel. And I think it's a little bit seen with worry when it comes to the future, because after Merkel, probably it will become less predictable what will be Germany's role in the world. And I think there's a discrepancy between what more and more countries from abroad would want to see from Germany taking more responsibility. Interesting enough, it's the Green Party is asking the loudest for taking more responsibility when it comes to foreign affairs. The others like to hide under the or to feel protected under the European umbrella by with these German, rather older German ideas, never again and never alone, and only react in multilateral settings. So I think from the Israeli point of view, Germany should and could act as a stronger actor on the international scene. One has also to add here that in Israel, one looked very, very closely at Europe during the pandemic. And somehow, I mean, especially the vaccination rollout, at least in the beginning, was much better in Israel. By the way, later on, then also in Great Britain, countries who were not part of the European Union at all. I think it's looked from here upon Europe with some kind of bewilderment even at times. And I think with worry, seeing how Europe can get its act together in a very positive way, working together without stretching too much all these countries that it tries to hold together.
You asked, can Europe get its act together? And interestingly, you contrasted that by saying earlier that Angela Merkel enjoys a rather positive image in Israel. But looking at the upcoming elections, those are really big shoes to fill for a new German government.
I mean, I think one of these questions of the role of Germany is that it's really committed to promote an open, rule-based, liberal international order. So for that also, by the way, Germany has launched with France together the Alliance Multilateralism in 2019. The question is, what will be the concrete outcome on that? Whether Germany could become an exporter of security and stability to a much larger degree than it did so far. I mean, the question here is also, if you send, for example, soldiers abroad, as was the case with Afghanistan, which was, by the way, for the first time in the framework of the NATO, it was decided to help out there. But there also you need to convince your voters. It's always this question in Germans saying, well, hold us back because it's better for us. But it's also a very comfortable situation by saying we only act together with others. And I think behind that lingers also the whole question of the idea of a European army. I mean, Merkel said it when there was a clash with Trump, by the way, by saying we have to take our destiny stronger into our own hands. In practice, it's difficult to see how a European army can really come together and how decision-making would be effectively done.
You just mentioned the idea of a European army that is also promoted in the election programs of several German parties. And as a friend of Europe, Israel might well benefit from such a European army. So I'd like to understand Israel's take on such a joint European military force.
Well, I think in that respect, also Germany is the second important partner that it has after the United States. I would still say, I mean, Germany, Israel, as one says, is from Europe, but not in Europe, has also a very ambivalent and ambiguous relationship to the old continent. So I would rather say reliance on the United States is much bigger from an Israeli point of view, but that doesn't mean that Europe cannot be in the boat together with the United States if it comes to more engagement, let's say in the Middle East. But the main question has always been when it comes to Europeans, it's nice to have suggestions and you want to be mediators, but the question about reinforcement. I mean, it's basically, especially when it comes to Germany, the use of force. And for that you have, for good reasons, one can say also history in Germany, but there's legal procedures, public opinion, where Germany remains also in its own perception a kind of a Zivilmacht, civil power, where economy is the main driver of security. And one works for peace and regional stability, mostly by non-military means.
Since we are right now talking about military engagement, earlier we briefly touched upon Afghanistan, and this is also a polarizing issue when discussing a European army or joint European intervention, because, well, in Germany there was lots of disappointment, if not anger, over the rather chaotic withdrawal of troops. So from a UK angle, where we now also see a public debate on this, Professor Whitman, do you think the lessons from Afghanistan will have a lasting impact on Germany's foreign policy?
I think it's a very good question, because how do we read Afghanistan? Do we read it as a failure to consult on a short-term decision? In other words, to end the US commitment following on from what was already very clear that the US wasn't going to continue to be involved in Afghanistan in the same way as it had been in the past. And did we not listen closely enough? And that's part of our problem, if you like. Or is it the case that this is part of a narrative that is now very well established, which is that the United States is perhaps less predictable, less dependable, and arguably less reliable than we had been used to in our past? And I think for Germany, that's an especially important question, because, of course, the United States is sort of stitched in the fabric of Germany's place in Europe, and Germany's thinking about how it best provides for its own security. But now it starts to play into an elite anxiety about whether the United States is reliable, and therefore whether Germany has to think very hard. What I find more difficult from what I've seen in the election campaign is how you go from the analysis to the political challenges of allocating resources to do more on the part of Germany, whether it's security and defense or in other areas, but also how far Germany wants to take on a greater burden of leadership, rather than perhaps looking for others to sometimes make the first move. And it's not obvious to me that the election will lead to more of a drive in that direction, the leadership direction, resources possibly.
If we now take it back to the Israeli point of view, Professor Dax, is there a possible path for Germany to establish itself as a leader in foreign policy?
But I think in some ways Germany is not living up to the important role it has in Europe and in the world. And the question is whether it would be able to make this switch from this own threat perception, which is not necessarily the same when it comes to threat perception. For example, in Israel, one can mention Iran as one of the issues. So the question will be really for Germany in the future, how much this switch from security through economy can evolve in something more global and encompassing also more willingness to take a stance, to be more assertive, I think, first of all, and more credible when it comes to to this kind of mentioning in bilateral relations, and which means not only development aid and trade, but also then, as I said, sometimes sanctions and reinforcement of these rules in this liberal international order that Germany so much wants to maintain and is a pillar of it.
So let's say the US were in fact a less reliable partner, and Germany were unable to shoulder this burden of leadership. Mr. Maurice, who could be the foreign policy allies in the post-Merkel era?
I would like to say Europe, European Union and France. But in France, the expectations of Germany are paradoxical. On the one hand, there is a historical fear. And on the other hand, there's a growing expectation for a more consistent commitment from the German partner, which is often judged to be too cautious, particularly in terms of foreign European defense policy. And that's the point. In France, we want more from Germany, but not too much. We have to find the right balance between US, between France and European Union. And the question of the European army, there is a lot of differences in the strategical culture between France, Germany, also maybe also a UK policy and so on. We have to think to a policy which is balance between Europe, US, and the Franco-German relation. It's complicated to have such a policy, but we have to think about it.
So with certain policy areas already having their leaders and the difficulty to stand side by side with partners, where does Germany then still have room to resolve this, let's say, perceived crisis of leadership? Professor Wittmann, what does a German government need to do?
Well, I think the problem for Germany and its foreign policy is that it's damned if it does and it's damned if it doesn't. And I think that holds for almost all of the difficult areas within international relations. And I think perhaps some of the disappointments of Germany's policy on both Russia and China. And I think also Germany has tended to disappoint on climate change policy. But I think the area where Germany really is very best placed to shift and to do something that would be really eye-catching is on the environment. Germany as a major manufacturer and a major consumer of energy resources. I mean, its coal use is extraordinary. Anyway, Germany is a country, I think it's the fourth largest user of coal. Germany to say something like, we're heading towards zero coal would be incredible. I think in terms of shifting the dial on debates within Europe on how we address climate change, but also internationally, I think that would really show that on, one of the major issues of the day that doesn't run up against the difficulties associated with the use of force internationally, Germany could show some very dramatic leadership, which will have a cost at home, of course. But leadership sometimes has a cost domestically, but being willing to bear that, I think, would signal that Germany really has an appetite to tackle the really big issues and to provide leadership on those in Europe and beyond. If I could be parochial for a moment, and I wouldn't see this in the top of the Bundesliga type issues, is that I think Germany has a quite an important place to play in helping the UK to refind its place in Europe. Mrs. Merkel hasn't been a sort of, a great heavy lifter, shall we say, of the bilateral relationship. She's been very cautious, and maybe what a future German leader could do is to, in a way, sort of guide the UK back to a more sensible European policy. It's in nobody's interest for the UK to remain detached or semi-detached, but it does require some creativity. And I think Germany is the ideally placed state to do so. What that looks and feels like, I think, is perhaps more difficult to say, because the current British government has a stance of appearing to have a sort of more sovereigntist position, shall we say, on its foreign policy than was the case in the past. But I think that there are all sorts of areas, and climate change is a very, very good one, where not having the UK working fully in step with Germany, France, and other EU member states, there's a real disadvantage to the collective challenge that we face. But I think also ditto on China and Russia. So for me, being parochial, I would say this is one area where Germany has some scope. I don't think the costs are too high, but there is, I think, something of an opportunity to hit a bit of a reset with the UK.
Since we are now positioning Germany within such recommendations for collaboration, I would like to come back to Mr. Maurice. Where do these recommendations put Germany in Europe?
Germany have to have a real European policy, a voluntary European policy, not alone, such as the French, maybe, European policy, but with the other countries. And Germany have to be a player in the European policy, in the EU policy, to do something for the future about digitalization, for example, about infrastructure and so on, and climate change. Germany have to be a leader on these points.
If we now leave the European context and look at the bigger picture, Professor Dax, could you maybe help me understand what the major questions and recommendations for Germany's foreign policy would be?
We also have this discussion about how multilateral is Germany really behaving. I mean, ask the Greek. During the financial crisis, they would say, well, there was not much multilateralism, and you could say the same during the refugee crisis, where at the end of the day, then Germany decided to do what it thought it had to do. And I think this challenge will remain very much, that on the one hand, when Germany is asked to make decisions or to be a leader, and not everything can be all the time coordinated, decided, wrapped up together in such, let's take only the European Union, which is already difficult enough to bring together. We just heard France and Germany just on the nuclear energy issue. There are huge differences. So I think there will be a huge battle around this, how to implement multilateralism really then in needs and to get there. And for that, you need a lot of determination. And I think climate change is the best example for that, because it's definitely something that even if one country on its own can achieve that, it doesn't mean much if the rest of the world doesn't go with this.
Thank you very much, Professor Dax, Professor Whitman, and Mr. Maurice, for, first of all, taking the time to come on this podcast, but also for sharing your very thorough and, how I find, very incisive assessment of Germany's foreign policy currently, but also in the future. Finally, to our dear listeners, I hope you found today's episode as insightful as I did. I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and if you like what you've heard, please do share it on your channels and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Deezer, and Amazon Music. My name is Verena Kassirje, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Global Perspectives, a podcast by the Hanseidel Foundation.